when we're stepping, we're actually tapping on the on and off the beat. That.
Hello, and thank you for joining me, Roslyn Hyams, for this week's Arts in France on RFI, and for a bit of a dance class.
The ons from the ups, it will become clear. So, can we do, if we're doing four claps on the beat,
Colin Dunn from Ireland, a master of traditional dance, was one of the choreographers who landed at the French National Dance Centre in Pantin, just north of Paris, to take workshops at the start of the summer in an exercise dubbed camping.
I don't feel like I'm camping. I mean, I have a room upstairs, which is which just feels very civilized. I've only teaching this week and the second week of camping, but I was here also because I had a residency with a sound artist, Eric M. So I have been here for the whole thing and feeling the camping vibe in the building. I mean, essentially, it is just a massive two-week kind of series of masterclasses for dancers and with some really great teachers. I mean, if I wasn't teaching myself or busy last week, I would love to have taken classes with some of these teachers. So yeah, it's a dance camp.
A couple of hundred campers, as it were, all dance professionals or students, followed masterclasses with teachers such as Noé Soulier, Raphaël Delaunay, Daniel Linehan, Min Tanaka, and Mette Ingvarsten. But the prestigious Centre National de la Danse on the Canal de l'Ourcq is a far cry from a camping site, and this fledgling just two-year-old event at Pantin was long awaited. 16 dance schools, from the School of Dance at Philadelphia's University of the Arts to Tokyo's Ochanomizu University to the Escola Libre de Danza da Mare in Rio de Janeiro to schools in Switzerland, Germany, Belgium and, of course, in France. The students in Colin Dunn's class were quite a mixture. While the students' styles and backgrounds vary from classical European to local traditional or contemporary, they all absorb and set out to make Dunn's Irish traditional dance their own in the space of just 5 days.
There's a mix of students, obviously, from France. There are two from Japan, somebody from Brazil. I seem to have a really broad mix of students. One of the first things I did was ask them why they had come to a class with me and why they were drawn to an Irish dance class. And, you know, I guess what I started at the age of three. My parents were Irish, so it was a pretty natural thing for me to do growing up in England even. And lots of second generation Irish kids would be sent to a dance class or an Irish music class by their parents. These days, there are people with no bloodline connection or no kind of cultural connection to Ireland who are curious about it as a dance form. I think some of them are drawn to it because of the music and the energy of the music. They've seen the dance, they kind of like the feel of it or the look of it, or they're curious about it. Some are here maybe because they see it as quite a rhythmical form of dance and they want to improve their rhythmical skills. So even in the teaching of it, I'm not teaching the strict version of Irish dance that you would probably get to if you went to any other class. Most of these students have a background in contemporary dance, which is quite, even the way that it's taught, is probably quite anatomical or kind of detailed in the way that it's taught. And yeah, I'm taking quite a broad view of what Irish dance is with them, introducing some of the vocabulary, but also really working and discussing the music with them and how to connect with it, and sometimes having them work with their own movement, but just giving them a rhythmical structure in which to work in, and really trying to attune their ears to their own body and how they move rhythmically.
How did you branch out from traditional Irish dance into something more contemporary?
It's been gradual. The root of everything that I do, even in terms of creative work, is still in traditional Irish dance. That's the well that I go to, or the source that I go to. But I suppose when I got to the age of around 30, and this would have been post-Riverdance, which I was a part of, which was a hugely successfully commercial show. I had a great time, and I toured with it for 3 years, but Riverdance became such a phenomenal thing, and it introduced Irish dance to such a big audience that I lost a piece of myself whilst I was in it, and I lost a little bit of my connection with traditional dance. And so that's when I started studying contemporary dance. I did a master's in contemporary dance in Ireland. I think it actually gave me the skills to go pretty much to go a little deeper into it in terms of my own creative work, but also in terms of how I teach it. you know, normally when you're taught Irish dance, you learn by watching and kind of copying. But I feel like I'm able to explain it in a more, hopefully, useful way, breaking it down into a component part. So it's rhythmical skills or it's listening skills, or rather than just like show and tell or show, I'll do it and you copy, you know.
Rhythm, beat, this is the most important for Dunn, whose classes are as artistic as they are practical. Up in the Air is for leaps only. Mark Osterhoff studies at the Higher Drama School in Lausanne's La Manufacture. He was one of the 15 or so signed up for this workshop with Colin Dunn and told me it fits well with his love of movement, the basis for his own research.
In contemporary dance world, we don't use jumps that much. We are very much on the floor, and I really like jumping, and it's something I'd love to put in my dance a bit more. And I just love rhythm in general. And yes, again, sometimes I have the feeling that in dance we don't use the rhythm of the music that much. We are often separated, even if it influences us. It's not that direct as it is in traditional Irish dance. I like transdisciplinary art on stage, because I come from theater, and after I did some circus, and now I'm into dance, and I have a solo that I try to tour a bit, and it's already something pretty mixed, and I hope that I will find some other people that have the same interest and to work with them. In general, I really like how much the body can say, can tell. Even very small things can tell so much more.
Dunn was not just leading the dance for professionals and semi-professionals. During camping, he also gave a public performance with French musician and artist Eric Kem. They embarked on an exercise to emphasise the relationship between sound and movement in dance. Dunn's shoes were kitted out with microphones, so the dancer generated the music through a computer system, challenging perceptions of the relationship between sound and movement for both the performer and the audience. The sound, in fact, depended on the foot movement, intensity of the step, shuffle or pause. Imagine Dunn walking at different paces around a black stage floor at the same level as the audience as his feet produce watery noises. And then more familiar Celtic fiddle tones.
In my own work in the last 10 years, I've really stripped a lot of the music away from it, because as soon as I kind of hear the music, it brings me into a particular kind of a place. And so I was trying to remove my history from the music in a way, and remove the physical form that I was exploring from the music. Because I think even for an audience, once they hear the music, they have an expectation of how you're going to move. And the last solo show that I made, some of it was made in silence, but I also worked with sound technology, which has been a big part of my work recently in terms of putting microphones on the shoes, but then manipulating or adding layers of, you know, using delays, reverbs, taking loops which are coming from the shoe into the sound desk, and adding kind of layers of sound. So in a way, I was kind of creating the music as I went along. You know, music is where it kind of starts at, so obviously when you're teaching, then we're right back with the music. And I'm also using some music by Martin Hayes, who's one of my favorite traditional musicians anyway. He's one of the only musicians that I would dance to.
Camping is, of course, usually an outdoors pursuit, and although this one at the Centre National de la Danse in Pantin takes place mainly indoors, I came across some happy campers on a rare sunny evening in June in front of the CND building.
Does anybody have a question? You want to do it faster?
Yes. Yeah.
Dunn pulled together a group of amateurs of all ages in an hour-long class in Irish dance. How much can you learn in that time? Well, with a good teacher, a whole sequence. If I hadn't seen it from the very first moves, I could have believed they'd actually been practicing for days. Irish reels and jigs apparently have healing properties, as Sandrine Slimani's enthusiasm for the experience with Dunn made her forget her arm in a sling. She leaped as well as the others.
It was great. It was really worth coming. I saw him perform 2 years ago. I hadn't realized this class was with him, so I'm delighted. He managed to share his dancing with us. It's very traditional on stage, but I think the contemporary side is in the relationship to the performance space.
And you're going to go home and practice, like he said?
With my family, yes.
Comping or camping at the Centre National de la Danse in Pantin at the start of the summer is an ambitious laboratory event with a very serious side for professionals. With performances at venues inside Paris, a school is out atmosphere and an invitation to the general public, the joy simply spreads.
And, you know, it's good to stamp your feet. Do you know what I mean? I think that's satisfying for any person to kind of, you know, to really connect the feet to the floor in connection with music.
When you enter the centre, facing you on the wall is a Japanese proverb written in English. It reads, "We're ridiculous if we dance or not, so we may as well dance." That's all we have time for this week. We'll be back dancing and possibly singing next week with more Arts from France on RFI. Until next time, from me, Rosalind Hyams, goodbye.